Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46? Mary's scripture, Psalm 46, Mary and Marlene's. I want to talk about the Lord our defender tonight. The Lord our defender. We know we are on the threshold of a new year. We've been very much aware of that. And oftentimes we say, what lies ahead? You and I don't know what lies ahead, but we know who is with us, and all of you have shared that tonight in your testimony. God indeed has been with you. Amen? He most certainly has. As you look at Psalm 46, it's a psalm of encouragement to the small nation of Israel. Israel was in a difficult place. She always has been in a difficult place. She's in a difficult place now. Israel is God's chosen vessel, was God's chosen vessel years ago to bring the news of his salvation to the world. And the world didn't want to hear that. The world didn't want to hear about God. And she came against Israel. Of course, Israel did some things that were wrong. She wandered away from the Lord, and the Lord had to discipline her to bring her back as a nation. She was the prime target by those who worshiped their own gods. Gods who couldn't see, hear, smell, speak, feel, or act. And those gods themselves couldn't hurt Israel, but the people who believed in them could. And as we look into the Psalms and as we look at Psalm 46, we realize that the psalmist is telling his people, the nation of Israel, things will happen that you cannot control. Things will happen that are very difficult, but do not give way. Continue to look to the Lord your God. This psalm gives us a declaration of who God is, the Almighty, the All-Powerful. He's the sovereign creator of all things, and he has great love for us, those who have professed faith in him. Here, he's speaking especially Israel of Israel, the people belonging to him. And as we look at this psalm, we realize that Psalm 46 also can pertain to us as the people of God in the year 2018, getting ready to embark on 2019. So would you look with me, please, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not what? Fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word tonight, we want your Holy Spirit to speak through your word. I just want to get out of the way, dear Lord. I pray now, Father God, that in your mercy you will speak to us, that you would bring encouragement, strength, guidance, even conviction of that is needed, and that as we leave this place tonight, we will know that we belong to the Lord High God of heaven and earth. Nothing can defeat you, and through you, we too cannot be defeated as we keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the glorious, wonderful Lord that you are. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we are to look upon God as our refuge. We're to look upon the Lord our God as our refuge. Now, what is a refuge? A refuge is a lofty or inaccessible place, something that is impenetrable. In other words, it can't be compromised in any way. That's our God. In other words, God is our shelter from danger. He is our shelter from danger. And here the psalmist is declaring to the nation of Israel that there is nowhere else that they may go to find strength and help in their time of need, just as there is nowhere else that you and I can go. Secondly, please notice what our refuge does for us. These verses go on to say that he is our strength. He is our power source, our enabler, our deliverer. And as Mary reminded us, he's an ever-present help. There is never a time that God is not available to minister to us, his people. He is always there. He is available to us 24/7. Have you ever made an appointment with somebody and they said they would be there for you, but when you called, they weren't there? That ever happened to anybody? Yes. You realize that when you send up a call to God, he always answers. He's always there. The line isn't too busy. He's not so concerned with someone else that he can't attend to you. One day I just got thinking of that. All of the billions of Christians that are on the face of the earth, what if we all call God at the same time? God answers each call. Isn't that awesome? He never misses a call from his children. Almighty God is not just a refuge, as we have in these verses. He is our refuge. You know, there are times that you and I feel very, very weak. And there have been many times in my life when I have felt extremely weak, especially when I've been on the mission field and I'm all alone and there's nobody there that I really know and my family and friends are thousands of miles away. I can't call them. I have no way of getting a hold of them. And I feel very, very alone, very weak. And I can share with you that in those times, God made himself known to me. I was not alone. He was my refuge. I want you to know tonight, no matter what you face this year, the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, is your refuge. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is our refuge. I hope we know that. I hope we'll remember that when we go through deep waters. Our God is our refuge. Now in verses 2 and 3, the idea stressed in these verses where the calamities mentioned are in the extreme is that no matter what may happen, the psalmist is saying to Israel, people, no matter what happens, God is there. He is in control. The earth giving way, the mountains falling, the water roaring. This represents motion about things that normally should stay steady, but they're not because of what may happen. Interestingly, as I thought about these things come to our minds as a result of an earthquake, right? Landslides, mountains collapsing, tsunami waves surging and roaring. Just this last week, we had a tsunami in the islands. People were unexpected, and all of a sudden, a 62-foot tsunami swept in. People had no warning whatsoever. We have these things that come into our lives. They come in with a roar. They take the ground away from underneath us. They hit us between the eyes, and we wonder, Lord God, what's happening? How can I endure it? God knows. He is there. Yes, even in our situation as alarming as this, God can be depended upon to minister to his children. As I thought of that, I thought of an illustration that I heard many years ago from Dick Hillis. Dick Hillis. He was the founder of Overseas Crusades. But before he went and founded Overseas Crusades, he was in China with the China Inland Mission, he and his wife. They were deep in a village. And the Japanese were coming. All of the people that were there in the village left except for them. So his wife, their little child, a helper, a Chinese lady that was assisting them, a fellow believer, were there. Dick Hillis had an appendix which ruptured. The only place that he could go, hear me now, this is the truth, Dick does not lie, in his book. The only place that he could go to receive medical attention was 100 miles away. And the only thing he could ride in was a wheelbarrow over rutted, bombed-out roads. Well, they prayed in their little hut. He committed his wife, this friend, and their baby to the Lord, and then he, this 100 miles, jangling, his insides breaking apart, went. Not only did they get to the hospital, only to find out it had been bombed out the week before. They had to turn around and come back. But every day, every day, it appeared with the bombing and the gunfire that the Japanese were getting closer and closer until they were on the outskirts of their village. What did Mrs. Hillis do? She prayed. She trusted God's word. And because God was their refuge at the last possible moment, when the people were ready to break into the heart of the village, they stopped. They just stopped. They turned around and they went back the way they came. They learned God was their refuge. And I want us to know tonight, our situation may not be as dark and stark and unsettled as theirs, but I want you to know today that God indeed is your refuge as well. But then secondly, would you look with me at verse 4 through 7? Let's see what else the psalmist says to the nation of Israel and to us. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want us to understand this, that no matter what the situation is, our refuge is mighty to deliver us. Our refuge is mighty to deliver us. In verse 4, there's a city mentioned. It's the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. There is no more important city to Almighty God than the city of Jerusalem. It is important to him because that's where he set aside for his temple to be built, the temple where the Holy Spirit resided in the Holy of Holies. But even before that, in the Old Testament in Genesis, it is where Isaac was placed upon the altar by his father, and his father would have taken his life, but God rescued that precious child by putting a ram in the thicket. Not a lamb, a ram, a male lamb. How exact God is. That ram typified the offering, the sacrifice that was to come. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That place is also special to our Heavenly Father because one day, Jesus Christ, God the Son, the sovereign creator and ruler of the world, will once again leave heaven and come to earth, and there he will rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. The city of Jerusalem is all important to Almighty God. Now, in days gone by, bad things have happened to Jerusalem. Interestingly, this psalm, Psalm 46, is a messianic psalm because it talks about things that are going to take place when Jesus does come back. You notice it says, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Why does God help Jerusalem at break of day? He helps at break of day because at daybreak was when many nations would come and attack their people. God's not asleep. He's awake. He knows everything. And even at break of day, when the people themselves may not be prepared, God is going to be ready to defend her. And we've studied the book of Revelation. You studied that. You studied the book of Daniel. God will defend her. It is important to her. So the psalmist is wanting the people of Israel to realize this city is important to our God. We are important to our God. And he is going to take very good care of us. Now, interestingly, also in this verse, it talks about a river. Now, if you know the topography of Jerusalem, there is no physical river in that city. So what's being said here? What the psalmist is telling us is that God's presence and blessing will flow to his people like water from a river flowing to minister to the health and the thirst and the needs of its people. God is in the midst of her like a river ministering his blessing, his grace to his people. This is abundantly fulfilled when Jesus returns to the earth. The sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, he will bring righteous and powerful reign on the face of the earth. It'll bless all tribes, tongues, and nations. Isaiah 9:7 says this, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, the people in Israel may have thought that their city was impregnable because of the fortified walls that were there. Israel's walls were thick, they were strong, and they would think that perhaps nothing could disrupt them. Just like if we're not careful, we can think that things cannot disrupt us. We have our health, our bills are paid, we have money in the bank. Our stocks are doing well. What on earth can happen to us? What did the people think back in the 1920s when the stock market crashed? What about World War I and World War II when the world was turned upside down? People weren't expecting that. Cancer invades one's body. Joyce's brother-in-law was in the hospital this last weekend, a temperature of 105, a lung infection, along with other problems going on in his body because of cancer. By God's grace, he came home today. How very thankful we are. There are family problems, breakdowns, ruin, cherished relationships. We just don't know what's there. Our walls that we put up around us are not impregnable. We are weak in ourselves. And it's when things like this come in and tap us and put their finger on our lives that we realize just how desperately we need God. Well, as I think of this, I think of what the psalmist stated in Psalm 33. Look back to Psalm 33 for me. Psalm 33, verses 16 through 21. I love the Psalms. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. Now notice, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. That word fear means reverence. On those who hope in his unfailing love. Deliver them from death, and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. He is our help and our shield. May I share with you? That's what a refuge does. God is indeed our refuge. But then, the strength of Israel again was not in its fortified walls. Our strength is not in whatever we might think are our fortified walls. The Lord our God is our strong deliverer. I wonder, do we try to make our own way out? Do we try to do other things before we come to God? Or do we come to God first as the problem makes itself known and we trust him for his wisdom, his guidance, his strength as our place of refuge? Well, then lastly, would you look with me, please, to the verses here? Actually, before I look at that last verse, I want us to see something. There's a name here in verse 7 that is tremendously important to us. It says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." In the King James, it's, "O Lord of hosts." In the NIV, it's, "The Lord Almighty." What this name of our God literally means is he is the commander of heaven's armies. No matter how big the armies would be that would come against Israel, they cannot compare with the one who leads the armies of heaven to defeat these armies that come against Israel. Look back in your Old Testament where Israel was outnumbered. Look at Joshua. What did he have in the way of battlements? He had glass. He had a piece of wood that was fire. And then they broke them and they shouted and they used their trumpets. They prayed and shouted out in the name of Joshua, in the name of God, these armies will be defeated. And 300 men were used of the Lord to defeat an army of 35,000 men that came against Israel. Absolutely no way Israel should have been spared, but God defeated them. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. Now, I don't know how you approach God in your prayers. I think for as long as I can remember, I have always started my prayers with, "My dear Heavenly Father." That's how I pray. My dear Heavenly Father. I thought back to the Old Testament, to someone who used this name, O Lord of Hosts. It wasn't a warrior. It wasn't a king. It was a dear little lady. It was a woman who wanted a son. And God at that point had not given her a son. And her husband's other wife was berating her because she had so many children, especially sons. And Hannah had none. And in the midst of Hannah's heartbreak, she called out to the God of heaven's armies, "O Lord of hosts, grant me a child, specifically a son." And I thought of that, Lord God, a dear little lady that most people would think was inconsequential, but she had faith in the one who was her refuge. God heard her. God gave her the desire of her heart. He gave her Samuel, who became a prophet of the Most High God. Don't think because you're not important, quote unquote, in the family of God, that God will not hear your prayers. If he can hear Hannah, he can hear you and me. I praise God for the witness of Hannah. I'm looking forward to meeting this dear lady someday. God gave her many other children after she gave Samuel to the Lord. She kept her promise to him. If you give me a son, I will give him to you all the days of his life. And she did. But she called on the commander of heaven's armies, the one who was her refuge, the one who had the power that she didn't, to minister to his need. May I share with you that he is there for you tonight. But then lastly, look with me, please, at verse 8. The psalmist invites us, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth." This again is far ahead in the future when Christ comes back. "He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." That can only take place when Christ comes again. This verse, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty, the captain, the God of heaven's armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." I don't know when it was. It might have been 10 years ago that "be still and know that I am God" became very, very, very dear to me the first time. That's when we had the sorrowful news that Greg Wood's son, who was in the army overseas in Iraq, got out of his Humvee, stepped on a landmine, and was blown to smithereens. I was in my office. I got the call, broke all the speed limits to get to Greg. He ran up the driveway and I ran down to him. We just hugged and met and cried. And Greg told me, Psalm 46:10, Psalm 46:10. What a powerful verse. Be still and know that I am God. We had his service here. This place was jammed beyond description. We had everybody on the outside. His casket was right here. Greg stood at this podium and he shared with all those there, even with a broken heart. His heart was at peace, was still before God. Why? Because he had found that the God of heaven's armies was his refuge in his time of deep, deep need. I'll never forget that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted among the nations in the earth because of his Son, Jesus Christ, when he comes back again to rule and to reign. But before then, how else might God be exalted in the earth? By the attitude, by the behavior, by the testimony of his children who have made him his refuge. And in our time of need, we found him to be exactly who he says he is. And we give testimony to others. May I share with you who God is, what he's done in my life, and what he will do for you if you too will receive him as your Savior and Lord? When people hear a testimony like that, God is glorified. He's magnified. He's honored. And the world says, I never knew. I never knew there was one like that. You know, there literally are billions of people today on the face of the earth who have no idea who our God is. It's our privilege to share with them who he is. It's our privilege to give our testimony to them. You may not be able to preach. That's not the point. You may not be able to quote scripture, but you can give a testimony of who Jesus Christ is to you. And as you share your heart and him with others, they will learn by God's grace to glorify him. We want to glorify Christ. We want to glorify him in 2019. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you that you are the Lord God of heaven and earth. You're sovereign. And Lord, we don't fully understand. We believe. We don't fully understand or comprehend how you could love us like you do. But your word tells us that you do. And by faith, we believe you. We thank you for the way that you have worked in our lives this past year. I thank you for the testimony of those who stood and said, I'd like to share with you what Jesus Christ has meant to me. Lord, how glorious that is. And as we face 2019, none of us knows what's out there. Only you know. So Lord, may we keep our eyes on you. May we allow your word to have residence in our heart. May we pray with faith, trusting you, looking to you, our refuge. May we gather together as your family, encouraging one another, being a strength to each other. And through it all, may you be glorified in our lives, in this church family, in the earth. This is our prayer, Heavenly Father. And this we ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Neville, please come and lead us.